today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
So it seems as if this Antichrist barters this agreement of this temple being rebuilt. And everyone's going to think he's the Messiah. The Jews are deceived. You know that Jesus actually said, I've come in my name and you receive me not. I've said, I come in my Father's name and you receive not. Another's going to come in his own name, him you will receive. Jesus was referring to this man of sin, this prince that is going to come, this Antichrist.
Evil leaders continue to appear, causing believers to question if this man is the Antichrist. Yet another man appears who could be him. It almost becomes a pastime trying to read the signs they see and match it to his description in Scripture. Yet Pastor John instead challenges you to look for Jesus. Look to him and focus your heart on Jesus and his imminent return for his church. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by anyone preaching himself the Christ, but instead, know your Savior intimately. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Daniel chapter 9 as he continues his message, the 70 weeks prophetic calendar.
So God's got this great big stopwatch in his hand, and there's going to be a date, and we'll get it in the text, there's going to be a date when God will start, he'll hit the stopwatch, and he'll start it ticking for everything to get wrapped up, for all of history around Israel to be wrapped up in 490 years. So kind of picture God going, okay, and he hits the stopwatch, and there's 490 years that have to tick off for God to fulfill his purposes and his plan for the nation of Israel. But now we get the particulars. Notice verse 25. Know therefore and understand. Some say this is the mathematics of the prophecy. Know therefore and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem until the Messiah, the Prince, Jesus Christ, shall be 7 weeks. Same word, heptat, means seven sevens. So it's 7 times 7, which is 49 years. And a second category, 62 weeks, which is 62 times 7, which is 434 years. And it says in verse 25 that the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after verse 26, 62 weeks, or after 62 sevens, shall Messiah be cut off? It's referring to his crucifixion and his death. Not for himself, but for the people. And the people that shall come of the prince shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, which is obviously referring to Jerusalem. And the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So we got to look at these categories. There's three separate categories for these numbers that God gave Daniel for the time frame and the time clock of this prophecy. Go back with me to verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. Now, the question is, when was this commandment given to go forth and restore and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem? And here's the answer. And I could give you all the background and all the information surrounding that, but I'm going to cut to the chase and just give you what I believe is the answer. The answer is Nehemiah chapter 2. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, King Artaxerxes gave the commandment on March 14th, 445 BC, to go back to Jerusalem and to restore and to rebuild the city. So it's listed there for you on the chart, 445 BC. But particularly, it was actually March the 14th, 445 BC. So as you look at this, the first is 7 times 7, 49 years. Then the second number is 62 sevens, or 434 years. Look at verse 25. So it says, there'll be first the 7 weeks, which is the 49 years, and then 62 weeks, which is 62 times 7, or 434 years. Now, that adds up to 483. You're supposed to say, right, nod your head, you're with me, right? 7 years are missing to our 490 years. And they still haven't happened yet. 7 years of the last period of time of man's history on planet Earth. But these first two categories add up to the 483 years. Now, I want you to follow me in your Bibles. And it tells us that the walls will be built in troublous times. How many of you have read the book of Nehemiah? If you haven't read the book of Nehemiah, the walls were built in troublous times, built in 50 days or 52 days, but then they went on to continue to refurbish and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So the temple was rebuilt, then the walls were rebuilt, and all the opposition that Nehemiah and the people of Israel dealt with during that time is described there. So this has already happened. During the 7 times 7, the 49 years, they're rebuilding the city of Jerusalem. The 62 sevens, or 434 years, nothing is said about the particulars about what's going on at that time. All it says is that at the end of those two periods, 49 years, 434 years, that the Messiah is going to come. Now, pay attention. This is an amazing prophecy. It says that at that time, Messiah the Prince shall come. And it says, after 80, verse 26, after 80 and 2 weeks, so after the 62 sevens, Messiah shall be cut off, not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. So, when did the Messiah come? It's interesting that if you calculate from March 14th, 445 BC, to April 6th, 32 AD, which is actually 173,880 days, guess what happened on that day? Jesus got on a little donkey. And he rode from Mount Olivet down through the Kidron Valley up to the Golden Gate. And he fulfilled the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Behold, thy king comes to thee, meek and lowly, riding upon a colt, the foal of a donkey. And when he came into the city, before he went in and he looked over the city, listen to me very carefully, Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he wept and he cried. He said, oh, Jerusalem, if you had only known, at least in this thy day. And he actually mentioned that day. If you had only known at least that this thy day, the things which were yours, which we read about, those six things in verse 24. If you only knew that I'm your Messiah, if these Jews had read the book of Daniel and calculated the time chart, they would have known that Jesus was their promised Messiah. If Jews today study the book of Daniel and they look at it literally, they'll know that their Messiah has already come. It was that very day that Jesus, the only time he publicly presented himself as the Messiah. And as he rode that little donkey and they're waving the palm branches and they're hailing him, save now, thou son of David, which is a messianic title, save now. Jesus realized that only a few hours later, the same crowd would be crying, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar, and we will not have this man to reign over us. So he came on that exact day that was prophesied of Daniel. A man by the name of Sir Robert Anderson has written a book called The Coming Prince. And he's calculated the time. Now, a Jewish prophetic calendar is 360 days. It's 12 months. But it's based on a 360, not 365 days. And you consider leap years and other things like that. He came up to the very day which took us from March 14, 445 BC to April 6, 32 AD. It was the very day that Jesus rode his little donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and presented himself to Israel as a Messiah, but they rejected him. They didn't recognize him. And they crucified him. It says that he will be cut off. Notice that in the text. In verse 26, that the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. So he would be cut off in the Hebrew. It's literally, he would have nothing of himself. He would give his whole life. He would be crucified and he would die upon the cross. Then it says that the prince that shall come, verse 26, the prince that shall come, he's the people of the prince that shall come. At the end of verse 26, that is a reference to the Roman armies who came in 70 AD under the leadership of the Roman general Titus and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. It's not talking about the Antichrist, and I'll point that out in just a moment, but it's now the people of the prince. The prince in verse 26 is the Antichrist. The people of the prince is the Roman soldiers, and this took place, I believe, in 70 AD. And all the wars and all the desolation and all the destruction that would happen unto Israel. Now, between in the text, verse 26 and 27 is the church age, is the parenthesis that has now lasted for over 2,000 years and cannot be calculated in time. So what you have here is the 483 years from the commandment to go forth and restore Jerusalem until the Messiah, the prince, has been fulfilled. The Messiah was cut off. He was crucified. And now the Holy Spirit has come that formed the church, Jew and Gentile. The church will be then raptured, caught up to be with the Lord. And when that happens, we don't know. Now you say, well, Pastor John, where are we on this chart? I wish I knew, but my guess would be that we're pretty close to the rapture. Amen? And we're living at the end of the church age when the Lord will catch the church up to heaven. And I believe that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. Then there'll be the last 7 years that will be fulfilled knowing the time of the tribulation. Let's look at it in this text. Then it says in verse 27, and he shall confirm. Now this he here is the Antichrist. The little horn, the man of sin, the son of perdition. During the time of Daniel's vision of the kingdoms of the Gentiles, during the ten toes, when he will come and take over the world. I believe that we see the stage set in the world today for this Antichrist revelation. Verse 27, he shall come, he shall confirm the covenant with many for, here's our last 7 year period, one heptad, or 1 7-year period. This is 1 times 7, which is 7. 7 years. Now that's going to make the 490 years. That will be the end of the tribulation, at which time Christ and the second coming will return in power and glory and majesty and establish his kingdom. And everything that is prophesied there in verse 24, those 6 items, will be finished and complete. So the covenant is an agreement that the Antichrist will make with Israel. Now, watching Donald Trump, the president of the United States, standing there with the president of Israel and the Palestinian president, and talking about reviving the peace talks, I was studying this passage, just blew my mind. It's not new, it's been going on a long time. The world is going to be crying for peace and crying that there's peace in the Middle East. And this Antichrist, this man of sin, Satan's man of the hour, he is going to barter this peace negotiation, this peace agreement. It's going to be for a period of 7 years. Now, I believe that as a born-again Christian, I'm going to be gone when this happens. I believe the church has to be caught up and raptured to be with the Lord before the Antichrist can even come on the scene. So I believe it's futile to try to attempt to identify the Antichrist. I don't care if the Antichrist is living in the world today. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Amen? And I believe the church is caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and that he comes on the scene, that he makes a covenant with Israel. This is where we get the 7 year period. And that is divided into 2 3-year period. In the book of Revelation, in Daniel, it's called a time, times, and a half a time. In the middle of the 7 year period, the tribulation, we're going to get it in our text, is going to be what's called the abomination of desolation, spoken by the prophet Daniel. Now, this covenant, verse 27, for 1 week, in the Old Testament is called the time of Jacob's trouble. So again, it's primarily a Jewish period, and God's going to be bringing Israel to its knees in repentance, and then they will be prepared and ready to recognize Jesus as the Messiah when he comes back the second time. So it's not just to pour out his wrath and judgment upon the world, it's also to prepare Israel for the coming of their Messiah when they look upon him whom they have pierced and they recognize him as their promised Messiah. Now the seven-year period is described by Jesus in Matthew chapter 24. And he calls it a time of great tribulation, and a time that was so great that unless those days be shortened, there shall no flesh on planet earth be saved. And then it's also described in the book of Revelation in great detail. That's what the whole book of Revelation reveals. From Revelation chapter 6 up till Revelation chapter 19, when Christ comes back and he puts an end to the Antichrist, and then he goes into chapter 20 and establishes his kingdom. It's called the Kingdom Age, and it lasts for 1,000 years. The word millennium is 1,000. The idea here is that the word heptet means seven, but this is a 1,000-year period where Christ will reign upon the earth. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. I want you to go back with me to verse 27. We'll try to wrap this up. So for 1 week, now in the midst of the week, after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. Now, this is exactly what Jesus mentioned in Matthew 24 when they asked him, what shall be the end of the Jewish nation and the end of the kingdom? When is thy kingdom going to come? He actually referred to the abomination spoken of by the prophet Daniel. This is the reference to it right here. And what it's believed is that one of the agreements that the Antichrist will make with Israel and with the hostile Arab nations around Israel is that they will actually be allowed to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. The Bible says Jerusalem is the burdensome stone that is around the neck of the nations. That's the real issue. It's not just the Palestinian issue, it's the issue of who gets Jerusalem. The birthplace of Judaism, an important place in Islam, and an important place to Christianity. The three major religions of the world all look to Jerusalem. And there's even an international cry right now that Israel ought to give up Jerusalem, that it ought to be an international city, that they shouldn't have even anything to do with Jerusalem. And the whole issue of, will we move our embassy in Tel Aviv? Will we move it over to Jerusalem? Will we recognize that as the capital of Israel? That's going to become the issue. So it seems as if this Antichrist barters this agreement of this temple being rebuilt. And everyone's going to think he's the Messiah. The Jews are deceived. You know that Jesus actually said, I've come in my name and you receive me not. I've said, I come in my Father's name and you receive not. Another's going to come in his own name, him you will receive. Jesus was referring to this man of sin, this prince that is going to come, this Antichrist. And that he sets up an image of himself, Revelation 13, in this rebuilt temple, and he commands everyone to worship him. And this is where the Jews realize that they've been deceived, it's not their Messiah, and Jesus said, flee into the wilderness. So he shall make it desolate, destroy the temple, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So there's going to be wars. There's going to be destruction, and we read about all these things clearly in the book of Revelation. It was Sir Isaac Newton that said, about the time of the end, a body of men will rise up who will turn their attention to the prophets and the prophecies and insist upon their literal interpretation in the midst of much clamor and opposition. I believe that that is what's happening today. But I've been studying Bible prophecy now for over 40 years, over four decades. And I've watched all the emphasis kind of come and go and Hal Lindsey's great planet Earth and all the books on the rapture and the buzz. And a lot of people in the church today are growing weary, kind of growing discouraged. And some are even abandoning the hope that the Lord's going to come back. and that we should even pay any attention to Bible prophecy, or that it can be depended on, or there's really going to be a rapture, or the Lord's really going to return. And many people are turning away from prophetic truth. God gave to Daniel this timeline for a purpose. Now, it's for the nation of Israel, but we can also learn by it even as Gentiles. That God's in heaven, God's on the throne, that God's word is perfect, it will be fulfilled, that God has a plan for Israel. Now, this is what happens. Remember God's stopwatch? And it started on March 14th, 445 BC, when King Xerxes gave the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. He hit this watch. Messiah, the prince, came to Jerusalem and he was crucified and cut off. Guess what God did? He stopped his stopwatch. He hit it, stopped. And it stopped at 483 years. There's still 7 years left on it. And I believe that when the church is raptured and caught up to heaven, not until after the rapture, the Antichrist comes and he, verse 27 of Daniel 9, makes the covenant with Israel for one last seven-year period, God hits the watch again. He hits that last 7 years. And there'll be seven last years of history of man upon the earth when God is going to pour out his wrath upon a Christ-rejecting world. There'll be plagues and famine and pestilence and war, and people who miss the rapture and turn to Jesus during that time, they can be saved, but they'll be persecuted. They'll suffer for their faith. It'll be the time of greatest persecution of the Jewish people. The Antichrist will hate the nation of Israel and persecute and slaughter Jews. But it will also be a time when many Jews will turn to the Lord and be saved. And in preparation for the second coming. So you see on the chart there, Revelation 19, the second coming, he comes back at the end of the tribulation at the time the Battle of Armageddon is taking place in the world. All the armies of the world are gathered together in the valley there of Megiddo. And they're fighting against each other. Man's going to destroy himself off planet Earth. And Jesus Christ returns. And he sets up his kingdom for 1,000 years. Now you could do a whole study on the millennium. It's an amazing time. But the cool thing about that time is that Jesus is going to actually be here on planet Earth. And the Bible says that they'll beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not lift up sword against nation, and neither will they learn war anymore. It's going to be 1,000 years of peace on earth. Now we're going to be as the church in glorified bodies, and we'll be co-reigning with Christ. It'll be a glorious time. The lion lays down with the lamb, and animals are tamed. You can actually pet lions, and they won't hurt you. You can play with a poisonous snake, which I don't want to do. I don't like to look at snakes, let alone touch them. But even the animal kingdom will have peace on earth. The Bible says righteousness will cover the earth as waters cover the sea. At the end of that time, Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. This may be more info than we need to get into. It's not in our text, but Satan then is loosed for a little short season, and he's able to deceive people who were there during the millennium. Not the church, but people who aren't saved, and they'll be led astray.
God's own people missed the fulfillment of his early prophecies, denying Jesus as the Christ. Though he perfectly fit all that was said about him, they missed him. Whether it was from ignorance or pride, they denied the Messiah. And now in the church age, as Pastor John explained, we are challenged not to miss his return. Take prophecy seriously. Be on guard, but focus on Jesus and his imminent return, not on who may or may not be the Antichrist. We'll tell you what's coming up next time in just a moment. But this month, we have a fantastic series that Pastor John is going to share about.
This series is Life Worth Living, based on the book of Ecclesiastes, is an excellent tool to share with someone that's struggling, wondering what is life all about. I preached this series because I wanted to use it evangelistically to share the gospel that life is more than things, and all the pursuits that Solomon went through, he could find no happiness, no fulfillment. He ended up saying all life is empty and void. So if you feel that this series could be a blessing to you or someone you know, visit us online at revival.tv to pick up a copy for yourself.
Daniel spoke words of vision and prophesied to the people, which should have prompted them to return to faithfulness. Despite this, there was still a lack of desire to leave the comfort and new normal of exile in Babylon. It had become home. Next time on Revival Radio, Pastor John will speak of the distress and sadness this caused Daniel. Yet Daniel responded to this pain in prayer. He sought and found his comfort in God. There's so much more to learn from Pastor John's survey through the book of Daniel, so we invite you to tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.